This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell. We are joined by Town Administrator Marblehead, Jason Silva. Jason, well, good to be talking with you again.
Good to be talking to you. Thanks, Bill.
Jason, let's begin. Here we are in March, and town meeting just ahead here in May, so it's less than 2 months away. So the warrant is out. It is available for Marblehead residents to take a look at. And what are some of the highlights in the town meeting warrant coming up?
So, yeah, this is definitely the busy time of year in town government, in particular here in Marblehead. So, yeah, we just had the warrant posted for May 4th, and there are several big items on the warrant that people, I think, might be interested in. So I'll run through some of them right now. So the first is, in Marblehead, we still have a parking ban in place, and there's been a lot of conversation over the last several years to look at transitioning from the parking ban to a snow emergency blue light model, which a lot of communities have adopted. And so we've spent the last, 6 or so months internally really reviewing that and what that transition might look like. There's a citizen article that is on the town warrant right now for us to consider that. And so internally, we've made recommendations on how best to move forward with that if town meeting decides that that's a worthwhile thing to give a try to. And so one of those things is a ticket increase for violating snow emergency. If you park on the street, it would go up from $25 to $100 to make sure that there's an incentive not to be on the street during a major snow event. So that's one thing on the warrant. We also have two Prop 2.5. One debt exclusion would be a renovation to the existing library building. So the Library Board of Trustees has really been working hard on that project, and that's included in the warrant. A new fire pumper truck is also included in the warrant. Several years ago, the state passed the Municipal Modernization Act. One of the things that it allowed communities to do is have an easier path to reduce speed limit in on town streets. And so we have an article on the warrant that would allow us to reduce the speed limit on any streets in town that aren't otherwise posted to 25 miles an hour. A lot of communities have taken advantage of that. And it also allows you to designate certain areas as safety areas and drop it even lower to 20 miles an hour. So we're looking at that. And we have a major improvement project at the intersection of Village Vine and Pleasant Streets. And so we're participating in the Transportation Improvement Program at the state level to do that. We're still in the design phase. But one of the things that will allow this project to move forward is on the warrant, which is the adjacent property owner has generously agreed to donate a sliver of his property to make the intersection work better. So an acceptance of that that land is also on the warrant and will really allow us to make, I would say, significant improvements to that intersection. And the last thing is, which may tie into some budget discussion, is the budget's on the town warrant every year. And one of the things we're looking at this year is the local option meals tax. So a lot of communities with a restaurant and business community like the town of Marblehead has already adopted the meals tax. The town of Marblehead has not yet. And so we are, that is on the warrant right now. We are strongly considering that. Our budget is, we're going through a time where our budget expenses over the last several years have exceeded our revenue growth. And so we've been making the budget work through one-time revenue sources. And so we've been plugging a hole between expenses and revenues with free cash one-time revenues. And so that's beginning to put increasing pressure on our overall operating budget. And so we're trying to seek out as many reoccurring revenue opportunities as we can. and so that we don't, so we continue to have a healthy reserve. And so one of those options that exists for communities is a meals tax. It's right now the state assesses a 6.25% meals tax. And what the local option allows communities to do is increase it by 0.75%. So it's to the town of Marblehead, it's based on DOR estimates. It's about a $270,000 revenue stream. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's 75 cents on a $100 bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can do the math on lower amounts. So, that's something we're looking hard at too. So, those are the big items.
Yeah. Overall, Jason, how would you say, I think you've actually gave a pretty good picture on the budget piece, but overall things such as, coordinating, school requests, school committee requests for budget and those kinds of things, working with the selectmen. That's an ongoing process, which is really kind of peaking at this point.
It is, yeah. It's and we're fortunate. We enjoy a really positive working relationship with the school committee and the interim school superintendent right now. I just came from a meeting this morning with the school superintendent. And we continue to hammer out the details of our budget. We have the selectmen are meeting next week to review the selectmen department budgets, and we continue to do our best to manage expenses and identify additional revenue so that our budget works. And so this fiscal year that we're in, We made some difficult decisions. We cut positions. We reduced full-time positions to part-time. We were able to offset some general fund costs with other revenue opportunities. And this year is similar. We've reduced our proposal to the selectmen is reducing another police position, another fire position. We've reduced salaries in the building department. And like I was speaking about earlier, the meals tax is on the table. Yeah. So we're doing all that we can to make the numbers work while also maintaining the highest level of services that we can to residents.
Yeah. I want to ask you about a few projects. Maybe we could focus in on some new green projects that are either underway or kind of on deck, if you will. So tell me about a few of these green projects.
Yeah, we've lucked out in Marblehead because we've been able to capitalize on a lot of grant opportunities that have allowed us to focus in particular on green sustainable efforts. So the first one is we received a $93,000 grant from Coastal Zone Management, who have been great partners. And it's the $93,000 goes to support a project that has three aspects to it. The first is to model sea level rise in Marblehead. And so 2030, 2050, 2070, we're working with the Woods Hole Group right now to model the impacts of potential sea level rise in Marblehead and in particular in Marblehead Harbor. And we had a public meeting at the high school several weeks ago. 250 people showed up to hear the findings. It was really quite something, and a really engaged engaged group who was there. And the findings were very interesting. So the next phase is to look at our existing coastal infrastructure, assess its condition, and then try to determine how best we can as a community deal with the impacts of those sea level rise projections. We're also a major piece of this project is community and public engagement. So we're really doing a lot of outreach with stakeholders, doing one-on-one stakeholder interviews, having that public hearing. We're also putting together a panel of experts to talk about what they've experienced maybe in other communities, and talk about, you know, some of the options that are available to us. That's a really exciting project. It wouldn't be happening without the state, and in particular, Coastal Zone Management's participation. So we're very excited about that. We've also been able to leverage the expertise of MAPC, the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, and they are helping us with their expertise in green and sustainable initiatives, but also just helping us facilitate the process of putting together a visioning document, a broad action plan on our green initiatives in town and what we want to be focused on, setting some goals for us. We have we had a lot of energy going a lot of different directions, but it wasn't as planned and as thoughtful as it could be. So MAPC has been very helpful, and we continue. The Board of Selectmen appointed a Green Marblehead Committee to help lead this effort with MAPC, and so that work is ongoing as well, which we're very excited about. Lastly, we received a $7,500 grant from MassDEP, another partnership with the state, to fund the first purchase of an electric vehicle in town. So we have an electric vehicle that is being used for inspections in the building department, and that happened only through partnership with the state, MassDEP, but also a really strong partnership with the Municipal Light Department, who funded the balance of the cost of the car, which was really exciting. And as part of that, we also received grants for the installation of electric vehicle charging stations. So in four locations in town, on town property, we received grants to install EV charging stations, which is really great. So that's so there has been a particular interest and focus from the town and Board of Selectmen to look at to really look at and focus on green initiatives, sustainable initiatives, especially given the proximity to Marblehead and the water, yeah, and the relationship to the water. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of work and focus going on. It's very exciting.
Well, it's funny, as you were talking, I was thinking about electric vehicles because I was remembering a story I recently saw in another community where they're going to be getting an electric school bus, kind of a thing. So electric car is clearly a start. It's moving forward. So I want to ask you about schools, my little transition, bringing the school bus in there. The update on the Gary School, but also the update on the new elementary school. What can you tell our listeners?
So I'm a member of the school building committee, and we have the project team in place. We have Left Field has been the owner's project manager since the design phase, and we have our architect on board, and Gil Bain is the construction contractor, and the school just received planning board approval this week. And so they're out there now. The demo of the old school building has started. Abatement has started, and that work is underway. And again, it's a very exciting project for the town at the old Bell School site. The former Gary School building at last town meeting, the ownership of that building was transferred from the school to the town. And so the Board of Selectmen created a Gary School Reuse Committee that I chaired. And we worked with a consultant to help us identify what our priorities for that site were and what the likely reuse options were on the site. And so based on that work and the priorities and the goals that the committee set for the building and for the property, the Board of Selectmen declared the building surplus. We preserved the open space in the playground area for continued public use and town property. And so we subdivided that property off from the building and the parking lot and back. And that is actually, an RFP was issued, and proposals are due back at the end of this month. So we're optimistic about that process and how that's going so far.
So does that building come down, Jason, or there'll be another use for it?
So one of the priorities that was set by the reuse committee was that the building was required to be restored and preserved. Okay. So that is a condition of the RFP that was issued, that the building will stay and will be redeveloped.
All right. Speaking of buildings and rehabbing, I don't know what the phrase is here, but it's not like the elephant in the room, but I'm in your office here at the Abbott Hall, and man, there's a lot of construction going on outside, inside, left, right, down, up, all over the place here. So this Abbott Hall work is, which would include windows. I do remember that piece to the project, but you've got a lot of work going on here.
We are in the middle of it, aren't we? Literally and figuratively. Yeah. No, so we are in the middle of this construction project. We're really excited about it. If you are in my office right now, you could see that we are in a literally in a construction zone. But the project is going along well. As a recap, we are the project includes masonry work, repointing work, window replacement, roof repair, and a brand new geothermal heat and cooling system. And there are 13 wells. If you look at what I call the front yard of Abbott Hall, it's still all dug up. They're finalizing the wells and the connections for the geothermal system. But it is moving along. The original end date of the project was in April. It's now the end. It's been extended slightly to the end of June, and believe it or not, if you're sitting here, you're like, the end of June, really? Is this really going to be finished by the end of June? But at the end of June, and yeah, we're very excited. It's if you walk throughout, it's a museum more than a town hall, really, in the history and the spirit, the painting, the spirit of 76. It's just a wonderful building. It's one of the jewels of Marblehead, and really happy that we're able to restore and preserve it. It's really one of the, I'd say, the hallmarks of the community and the residents here, really honoring the history and the traditions of town. And they clearly stepped up to the plate. This is only possible because of a Prop 2.5 debt exclusion override that the community supported, and yeah, it's going to be terrific once it's complete.
Yeah, so a lot of that historical stuff is a little bit, some of it's still around. Some of it's a little disarray. I've checked around a little bit here, and I also see the bright orange raincoat here, Jason, in your office. I'm thinking you may have to wear that a lot in your during your workday inside here, not just when you step outside in bad weather.
Oh yeah, trust me, you don't even want to hear some of the stories I have related to this construction. But it's noisy sometimes, it's disruptive sometimes, but we're definitely getting through it, and really appreciate the fact that the work is getting done. So,
Jason, a lot of information, a lot of great information here from you. Anything else you want to share with us? Again, town meeting, election, it's a busy time of year for four towns, as you pointed out at the offset at the very beginning here, for not just Marblehead, but other towns, but always a lot on the table in Marblehead.
Geez, there really is. There's such a lot going on in town. We have another Prop 2.5 project, Fort Sewell restoration that's happening. The Fort Sewell Oversight Committee has been working so hard at that, and they have an architect on board. That's moving ahead quickly. They were able to not only utilize the Prop 2.5 funding, but also they did an amazing job with private fundraising for the project, and also securing grant opportunities through Mass Historic and Mass Cultural Council to support the work. So that's a project that's moving full steam ahead. We have a rail trail in town, which last year we were able to make improvements to some of the harder areas where it was either narrowing or there were obstacles in the way. So we were able to do some resurfacing, some widening, and some improvements. And based on that, we were now able to secure a grant to redesign the whole length of the rail trail, so that we're in the middle of getting a consultant on board to help us through that process. We have another small project, but it's really a neat project, is we have a historic shoe shed in town. They call it an old 10-footer, I guess they were called. And the town, through its historical commission, was able to secure $24,000 through the Shattuck Fund in town. And so there's a project now that's happening right now to preserve and restore and renovate an old shoe shed. It's at the foot of Fountain Park on Orange Street. And we'll not only preserve it and restore it, but also create a little museum inside, where people can look inside, but also during special events and maybe weekends, there'll be docents that are there to let people in. And so that's kind of a small project, but a meaningful one too in town. Another great example of the town really honoring, you know, moving forward and looking to the future, but never forgetting their important role in the past.
Yeah, well said. A shoe shed. What is a shoe shed, Jason?
So, good question. So it was literally where we're planning an interactive museum showcasing the town's history and shoemaking. Okay. And it was where, you know, cobblers did their work on shoes. Yeah. and made shoes. And there are several around town, apparently. This one we happen to own. And so so yeah, we're working to develop exhibits. We got some support from Essex National Heritage to help with some storyboards, and so yeah, it's a neat little project.
I gotcha. All right, yeah, very interesting. You know, the other thing too, which is really good to hear, and is that you're able to take advantage of so many different grants, yeah, different groups, which you know, I've done tons of interviews over the years, Jason, but you were able to pull up a bunch of different grants. And obviously, you read in the newspapers that that's happening a lot. That's the healthy piece to, I think, what's happening, is that there is grant money out there, and you have to have the wherewithal in cities and towns to be able to go after that and identify needs and grants to meet those needs.
It's so true. Without these grant opportunities, a lot of this work just wouldn't be possible. It's unbelievable. We have a planning department of one. We have a town planner, but the amount of work that she's able to do and coordinate amongst others to really secure some of these funds is really great, and allows us to continue to progress in some important ways. And the other thing, like for instance, the Fort Sewell grants that I talked about, those really were driven by volunteers. Yeah. The amount of work that volunteers do in town is amazing. And the Fort Sewell Oversight Committee really went after those grants hard with Becky's, the town planner's, support. And yeah, it's without that money, it's a really good point. Without that money, without those partnerships that we've been able to establish, a lot of this wouldn't be happening.
And again, you identify something to think about here. You know, every town has their citizens that, you know, believe in the town or city, and you know, they're there, and their family has been there for years, and so on. But you know, no stronger case in point than Marblehead, and some of the people that, you know, are fixtures in this town, or have grown up in this town, or come to this town and just get involved, and are very much involved in you know, taking Marblehead and taking it to the next place, but not forgetting the past.
It's true. And there are so many people in town who care about this community, care about the direction the community is going in, and care about preserving its history while looking at the future and how we're going to move forward. And there are people here who, and their families, have been here for years and years and years. And they're such great resources, and I know I have relied on them and plan to continue to rely on them to provide the historical context, but also the knowledge that they have about the community.
Yeah. Jason, great talking with you. Thanks for all your time. Thanks for all this information. And I think you'll be busy for the next few months.
You can say that again, but no, it's been great. Thanks for coming by.
Jason Silva, Town Administrator, Town of Marblehead. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO NewSports.com.